Hello there, thanks for joining us. It's the Sweet Spot, the Racing Post's weekly golf show with Bruce Millington and Steve Palmer. We're looking ahead to two times this week, and we're going to look back on the Ryder Cup. Steve, it seems like only about, well, it was only 36 hours ago that we were in the middle of a four-hour marathon during the Ryder Cup singles. Very enjoyable show, wasn't it? How did you feel it went? What would you give it out of 10?
I'd probably give it a 9 because, I'm obsessed with the thumbs up, thumbs down. And I think we've got a couple of thumbs down. So, yeah, that denied us
Steve,
the 10 out of 10.
You mustn't worry about that. We had 205 thumbs ups and 2 thumbs down. Honestly, if you look at things like any music video or anything anyone does, there's normally a much bigger ratio. So that's something to be pleased about. Don't obsess about the thumbs down, Steve.
Really? Well, anyway, even Ed Sheeran. Surely Ed Sheeran gets more than 202. I've just got high expectations.
Up, but the rate, you've got to think about the ratio. No, it was all good. Sure, Thank you very much for all your interaction. If you missed the show, well, you don't want to watch it again. I mean, that would be absolutely pointless, wouldn't it? But anyway, it was all on there. We had great fun and we're hoping to do it again. If you enjoy these shows, we always love you to rate, review and subscribe. Hit the thumbs up button and most importantly, get involved. We'd like to know who you fancy this week for these two tournaments. Like I say, we'll be looking ahead very soon. But we should reflect on the Ryder Cup, Steve. This time last week, we predicted a rout, and that is exactly how it turned out. 19-9, the final score. And I suppose, really, you know, we there's not too much you can look back on and say, well, this happened, that happened. The Americans were just better. I don't think Harrington did anything particularly. I've read all these articles about the mistakes he's made, but, you know, there wasn't really much he could do, was there? They're just outclassed, weren't they?
Yeah, I mean, they were facing the dream team. You know, this was the best average world ranking of any team in Ryder Cup history. This American team was the dream team and had the perfect captain to guide it, I think, this time. I mean, there was a lot of talk in the build-up about he's been too quiet in the media conferences and whatnot. Yeah, this is a quiet man. It didn't matter. It's a quiet man with a small ego. And he was comfortable with letting there be a degree of player power. You know, he clearly created the most harmonious American camp they've ever had. And normally there's infighting in the American camp. This time, it worked so well. Having a captain who was happy to admit his players would end up with more trophies than him. You know, Stricker's the first captain in American Ryder Cup history to not be a major winner. And I think there was a sort of deference about Stricker towards his players, which the players, you know, thrived in. So, I think the main factor was the quality of the side, but I think it was a brilliant captaincy performance. I think the backroom staff was formidable. The course was set up ideally for the American team. And that emphatic home support was crucial. It was so hard when things were going wrong for the Europeans for them to raise themselves, as Graham Taylor would say, because they had nobody to help them with that process. And I'm just kicking myself we didn't go for more exotic correct scores. I mean, 17-11 was as exotic as we got. 19-9 was where we needed to push on to, really.
Oh, well, never mind. It was quite testy out there, you know. I mean, I read an article by, I think it was a Telegraph writer who was out getting down and dirty in the galleries. And, you know, it wasn't just the odd get in the bunker. There was some pretty rough stuff out there, you know. And I think actually at one point someone actually squared up to McIlroy or Hovland? I can't remember. But it sounded like it was pretty unsavoury. I suppose if we turn... Oh, go on, Steve.
Well, I was going to say, in those situations, when you're up against a crowd like that, you need really tight partnerships. You know, you need a partner alongside you that you know well and you've been through these sort of things before with. And that was the problem. We talked about it in the lead-up. You know, the European pairings, there was no natural partnerships. And, you look at Paul Casey had 3 different partners in 3 matches. Tyrrell Hatton had 3 different partners. Victor Hovland had 3 different partners. You know, there was a real promiscuity in the
European,
if you will. I think Harrington, you know, as we talked about on Sweet Spot Live, I don't want to start a witch hunt. I don't think you could have had any captain in the world on the European side there. They wouldn't have been able to work out a way of winning this. But, I just think the Saturday morning foursomes was the moment that we sort of waved the white flag of surrender, because Rory McIlroy was dropped. You know, he's had one bad one bad day, and he's just dumped from the team. I thought that was an act of surrender. You know, he's the sort of player that can just come alive in a heartbeat. He's our second best player on our team. And you had Hovland and Wiesberger going out together. Only 3 rookies in the whole team. 2 of them went out together in those Saturday morning foursomes. So I think the writing was on the wall at that point. Whereas the American pairings, we talked about how natural they were going to be. There was you know, over the first 2 days of those 16 matches, there were only three pairings in those 16 matches that we didn't mention in the pre-tournament podcast because, you know, because they were, you know, they fitted so well together. There was just three that called us out. Johnson and Schifele got a game together. Thomas and Cartley got a game together. Cooker and Spieth. But the other 13 were all predicted because, yeah, it just all seemed to look so straightforward for the state.
And, let's look forward, yeah, shall we, Steve? Because the 2023 Ryder Cup is in Italy. And the latest betting has US 8-15, Europe 15-8 and 12-1 the tie. First of all, do we think Westy is likely to be Europe's cap'n for that?
Yeah, I think it's entirely feasible. Yeah. He seemed very upset that was probably going to be his last game.
He's 48 now. I didn't realise
Yeah. Well, thank goodness he won his last game. You know, he was on a real losing streak and then he managed to turn that one around late, didn't he, against Harris English there. So, yeah, he was welling up because, he's sort of realising that's probably his last one as a player. So, yeah, I think he might be capping. But, yeah, they've got a devil's own job now, haven't they, whoever takes over this European team. I mean, I don't like making knee-jerk reactions. I've been trying to control my knees ever since Sunday, but they've been, you know, I've been jerking all over the place because I fear a real spell of American dominance now. That's a really young team you got there. The oldest player in the team was Dustin Johnson. He won five matches. He's got a few Ryder Cups left in him. The rest of them, you know, most of them in their 20s. I think that side's just going to go from strength to strength. We talked about the conveyor belt of talent, the players coming through, your Cameron Champs, your Matt Wolfs, your Will Zalatorises. They've got so much to offer. And, Europe have got a very old side and then doesn't seem to be much coming through. So I fear for us.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone's going to be particularly excited about having a big bet at 8-15 now in that you've got to wait for 2 years for it to be settled. But if you're one of these guys with a massive kind of betting bank, it probably wouldn't be the worst investment, would it? Something's going to have to go pretty badly wrong, isn't it? And also, Steve, I don't suppose it's going to be that raucous out there, is it? We can't even hit them with raucousness, can we?
I guess not. I do worry about the future in terms of the Ryder Cup. You know, it seems crazy to say, doesn't it? We won four of the last five, nine of the last seven. But now I just can't see where the next European victory is coming from. But, you know, 2 years is a long time. Maybe we'll suddenly get a new batch of superstars come out. But thank goodness John Rahm and Sergio Garcia put their differences aside, because that was a surprise partnership because they didn't play a session together in 2018. Whatever issues they had, they resolved them or put them to one side. You know, they won all three of their matches together. So at least we got something to hang our hat on. Garcia should be around for Rome, and we'll have Rahm and Garcia in tandem again, I expect.
Climate change, political instability, nuclear proliferation. Don't worry about the Ryder Cup, man.
I wonder what you're doing there. You came out of nowhere. Yeah, you're right. There's a lot more to worry
about. I was just
about
counting reasons that you should worry, or you might.
Yeah, we might not even get another Ryder Cup. Yeah, the way the world's going.
Well, I'm sure we will. I mean, you never know, do you? But I mean, you know, if we lose a few Ryder Cups and the world keeps spinning, and you know, and rare species don't go extinct, I'll settle for that personally.
Yeah. If there's still pandas around in 2023, that's we'll settle for that, won't we? Let's keep the pandas. Keep the whales, save the whales, save the pandas. Don't worry about the Ryder Cup.
Exactly. Let's worry about this week now, Steve, shall we? Two tournaments, and the Alfred Dunhill Lynx is the first of them, taking place in Scotland. And there's a few Ryder Cuppers who are trying to put their misery behind them. Let's have a quick look at the betting. Tommy Fleetwood, 14. Shane Lowry, 14. Billy Horschel, fresh from his victory at Wentworth. I don't know whether he stayed over, but he loved it so much. He's certainly come back over this. He's 14s. Alex Norin is 16s. Tyrrell Hatton 16s, and then there's a bit of a gap to Brandon Grace at 28s, along with Thomas Peters and Victor Perez. So, Steve, interesting tournament this. Tell us all about it again, because it's not the usual format, is it? It's a bit of pro-am action, isn't there?
Very much so, yeah. We're off to Bonnie, Scotland, around a piece at St Andrews, Kingsbarns and Carnoustie over the first 3 days. St Andrews and Kingsbarns are in Fife, Carnoustie is in Angus. Then the cup makers, after three rounds, gather at St Andrews for the denouement on Sunday. So Kingsbarns is really easy. The only one of the three with four par fives. St Andrews is easy in calm weather, but tricky in strong winds.
What are we likely to have this week?
We've got a windy old week coming our way. Yeah, we've got a very windy week coming our way. Carnoustie is the most difficult of the three by a long way. We're going to get some really typically Scottish weather this week. Cold mornings, slightly warmer in the afternoons, but it won't get above 14 Celsius anytime all week. Moderate breezes Thursday and Friday, fresh breezes Saturday and Sunday, constant threat of drizzle. Yes, miserable, miserable stuff. And we must note, there's 168 runners going to post this week. I mean, yeah, I found it hard to get motivated for these 156 runner events. They're so easy. But yeah, it's a real challenge this week, the 168.
So and there's an am element to it as well, isn't there? Do we have some celebs in the field as well?
Yeah. So this is, yeah, they're very, very long rounds, like 6 hour rounds with, you know, loads of people you may have heard of.
Who would you, if you were doing like the celebrity bingo for participants, who would your three bankers be?
Well, I'd like to play with Tim Henman because he's really good, isn't he? So you want a good partner, yeah, you know, beefy both.
He's going to play, is he?
Yeah, Tim, I should think so. I haven't had a good look. But your standard dish is your Tim Henman.
JP McManus is normally in it as well, isn't he?
Yeah. He used to play with Pod. I think Pod's playing this week. Yeah, poor old Pod. Mm. Yeah, he probably wants to lie in a darkened room for a few weeks, doesn't he? But he's got to face the music.
Wow.
It's on his schedule.
He's flying, isn't he?
Yeah. Podrick's there. Martin Keimer's there. One of the deputies, Luke Donald. Yeah, there's going to be lots of Ryder Cup post-mortems going on.
Okay, well, we'll plough on then, Steve. How many selections have you got this week?
I've got five of the 168 runners.
Okay, and who is your headline selection going to be?
It is Alexander Noren at 16-1. I mentioned the weather, horrible weather conditions typically in this event, and that doesn't worry the Scandinavians. They're used to teeing up on cold mornings. 16 of the 19 winners of the Dunhill Links Championship have been from the British Isles or Scandinavia. Noren seems particularly comfortable in chilly weather. Six of his 10 European Tour victories have come in the British Isles or Scandinavia. He won the 2016 Scottish Open on the Castle Stewart Links. His last six starts in the Dunhill have been really solid. Form figures of 17, 39, 3, 40, 11, 15. And this year, he's coming into it having played some really good golf in some top-class events. He was 12th in the PGA Tour event at Riviera in February. He was 13th in the Memorial in June. He was 4th in the Rocket Mortgage Classic in July. And then he was superb in the FedEx Cup playoffs, 4th in the Northern Trust, 9th in the BMW Championship, narrowly missed out on the Tour Championship. Closed with a 67 at Wentworth last time out. He's brilliant in the wind. He loves that. He loves drilling balls low under the wind. He's got a penetrating ball flight when he needs it. And he's highly motivated this week. He's 61st in the world rankings. If you get in the top 50 at the end of the year, then that gets you in all the big events next year. It's very important to be in the top 50 at the end of the year. So from 61, no one's going to make a late charge for it.
OK. Has he got a particularly sort of flamboyant amateur with him? Could that put him off, or is he with someone who's going to keep him nice and calm?
Good question. I haven't had a look at who's got who yet.
Okay, fair enough.
But he's a pretty unflappable Swede, Alex Noren, yeah, and he's a cheerful Charlie. He's a confident, you know, he's happy in a banter fest. You know, it can be difficult if you're a bit shy. There's not many shy golfers out there, but if you're shy or you're tired, you know, the Ryder Cuppers, we might perhaps talk about them later. Are they going to be up for 6 hour banter fest with some
body? Who knows? Yeah. Okay, who's your main danger?
Matthew Jordan. Big fan of Matthew Jordan, 70-1. Matthew Jordan, another great Lynx exponent. No fears playing in the wind. He grew up on the Wirral, long-time member of Royal Liverpool, open venue, Hoylake. He won the St Andrews Lynx Trophy in 2017. He won the Liven Trophy by 9 shots in 2018. This boy is the king of the Lynx. And his Lynx ability showed straight away when he moved on to the European Tour. He was 15th in the 2019 British Masters at Hillside. He was 5th in the 2019 Dunhill Links Championship, the last time we had one. We didn't have a Dunhill last year. COVID ruined that. He was 5th in the last one. And in between those two events, he won on the Challenge Tour in Italy. I think this is a golden chance of a European Tour breakthrough. Over the last 3 months, he's been really bright. 12th in the Irish Open, 18th in the Scottish Open, 6th in the Hero Open, which don't forget is at Fairmont St Andrews. 10-minute drive down the road. 4th in the European Masters since then at Crans. 15th in the Italian Open. Missed the cut by a shot in his BMW PGA debut. Absolutely no disgrace in that. So, yeah, Matthew Jordan, I couldn't believe the price is on offer. Fantastic each-way value.
70-1, you say? That sounds good.
Glorious each-way bet, Matthew Jordan. He's the king of the links.
Okay, the third selection.
Nikolai Hogard. Obviously, it's compulsory for us to have a Hogard brother in the staking plan for every podcast, apart from the ones where they go on to win that week. That there is only one Hogarth brother in this field. Nikolai been excellent lately. His last four starts, 21st in the Kazoo Classic, 17th in the Czech Masters, victory in the Italian Open. It was a decent field in Italy, heroic maiden success. And then 20th last time out on his Wentworth debut. So this is a 20-year-old getting more confident every day. His European Amateur Championship win in 2018 came on a links, Royal Hague. And he won the Eisenhower Trophy that year as well as part of a Danish team. And that was in Ireland. I just think the Dunhill Links is a good fit. I think he's going to become a regular Dunhill Links contender over the next decade.
I tell you what, if we are going to challenge in 2023 in the Ryder Cup, we probably need one or both of those Hogarth boys to train on, don't we?
Yeah, maybe they'll be the saviours of the European Ryder Cup team. Yeah, what a partnership they could be.
Remind me what price Nikolai Hogarth is.
80-1, you Nikolai 80 Hogarth.
80-1, lovely. Okay, and the final two?
Two more at three-figure prices. Grant Forrest at 175-1. Grant Forrest made his European Tour breakthrough down the road at St Andrews at the start, Fairmont St Andrews, in that Hero Open we just talked about. Really gutsy effort to emerge triumphant from a congested leaderboard. I don't see why he can't do the St Andrews double. Really surprised by the prices against his name. This is a proven Lynx master. He won the 2012 Scottish Amateur at Royal Dunnock. He won the 2014 St Andrews Lynx Trophy. He was runner-up in the 2015 Amateur Championship at Carnoustie. So we get one round at Carnoustie this week. He was fourth in the Irish Open in July. You know, that Hero Open win didn't come out of nowhere. Played well in a Rolex Series event. Forrest, I think Forrest is the best of the Scots this week. And then the last one, the wonderfully named Joachim Lagergren, who's a 100-1 chance. Absolutely adores this event. He was ranked 387th in the world when he made his Dunhill Links debut in 2015, and he finished fourth. He was ranked 322nd in the world when he returned 12 months later. He finished fourth again. And he was 12th in 2017. And then in the last Dunhill in 2019, he finished third. It's just astonishing. Yeah, we were on him at big prices for that that last Dunhill. Second round 62, thrilled the pants off us. It's the same every year. He seems to go off at massive prices for the Dunhill, despite all these heroics at the track. His only European Tour win came at a seaside track in Sicily, and that track in Sicily is actually designed by the same chap who designed King's Barnes, Carl Phillips. So Lagergren loves this assignment, and he can handle a breeze. He's good in a breeze. His Challenge Tour win came in Northern Ireland. Yeah, I think we'll all be quaffing lagers on Sunday when Lagergren does the business.
Nice one. Okay, Steve, excellent. Some big value selections there. Just looking at the head of the market, I'm intrigued by Horschel being back. I presume he hasn't been walking around Tower Bridge and going to Windsor Castle since his victory in America. He must have popped back. But what's caused him to come back over? Do you think love of golf over here or a bit of appearance money?
I think it's the scent of Race to Dubai glory. I mean, that's the crazy thing. You win the BMW PGA Championship. There's a lot of Race to Dubai points for that. He is second, I believe, in the Race to Dubai standings. So
something's wrong there, isn't there? That he comes across, wins that, probably picks up a few quid in the majors and is second. I mean, that can't be right, can it?
I think a lot's wrong with that, actually. Yeah, because Colin Morikawa is in the lead on that. And, you know, how many European Tour events has Colin Morikawa played? So, yeah, I mean, the European Tour's got some issues. But, yeah, we've all got some issues, haven't we?
Yeah, we certainly do. And I do think with the European Tour, I do think it's well managed. I love the way they do the social media. I think they're very innovative. I think they've handled the calendar changes very well in COVID. So it's nothing against the European Tour. They're doing all they can, aren't they? But, you know, you're up against this American behemoth with all its huge prize money, aren't you? It's hard to compete.
It is. But it's nice to see Billy Horschel come over for this, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's representing.
You loved what he did at Wentworth, didn't you? In the way he was kind of respect. And loved it. It was good, wasn't it? He's a good lad, isn't he?
He is. I suspect he's going to be the same this week, but I think he's an awful price because Wentworth and what he's facing this week are very, very contrasting challenges. His open record is terrible. 5 missed cuts from 7 starts. Best finish of 30th. Yeah, he's got a lot to prove on Lynx terrain. Yeah, I think he's woefully short this week.
What about the three Ryder Cuppers? Can any of them atone?
Big test of fortitude. We've mentioned these long rounds. You know, at the best of times, the Dunhill Links is a test of fortitude. You've got 6-hour rounds in the company of amateurs hacking it out, you know, trying to find their balls in the gorse bush. You know, you've just come back from a record-breaking defeat. You know, Europe have never suffered a heavier defeat than that. You know, it seemed like all the team were crying on Sunday night. You know,
you stick a
European in front of the cameras, all bursting into tears, like emotional wrecks. I mean, you know, a long flight back over here to play in horrible weather. with a banterer. I mean, I just think that I just can't have them. Yeah, I just they're all short prices and they're not for me. Not for me.
Okay, mate. Who was the last one off the list?
It's a really good question. I will consult you. I think Minwoo Lee was. Yeah, there he is. Yeah, Minwoo Lee. Minwoo Lee and Adrian Moronk. Yeah, I mean, obviously with 168 runners, there's plenty of dangers, but Minwoo Lee and Adrian Moronk were top of the dangers list. Yeah, but we can't back them all.
Okay, all done and dusted with the Dunhill links. Steve, anything else to add?
No, nothing to add on the Dunhill links.
Right, let's go across to America for the Sanderson Farms Championship. Sam Burns is favourite, round about 16 to 1. As we always say on the show, shop around for best prices and best each way terms. Will Zalatoris is 16 to 1. Sunjay M, 18s. Sergio Garcia, 20. Corey Connors is 20. Charlie Hoffman, 30. Siwoo Kim, 30. And then it's 33 to 1 bar. So, interesting old tournament. Sergio Garcia, another wounded Ryder Cupper, looking for instant redemption. We'll find out who Steve fancies after he tells us all about the Sanderson Farms Championship.
Yeah, we're at the Country Club of Jackson in Mississippi. 7,461 yards par 72. So a long course, and pre-tournament storms look set to soften the track. Then we're going to get perfect weather from there with hardly any breeze. Sun shines out. So we're going to get a very low scoring week. I expect a big hitter carrying a hot putter to prevail on Sunday night.
Okay, how many selections have you got?
I've got six, but two enormous prices.
Okay, six. Right then, let's rattle through them. Is Will Zalatoris the headline?
He's not. And I mean, You say Sam Burns is favourite, but there's a good old jostle going on between those two and a few others having a little go at it. Yeah, who's going to become favourite for this? I'd be surprised if the market doesn't put Sam Burns ahead of Will Zalatoris. I think Sam Burns is the most likely winner of this tournament. I think 16 to 1 is a very, very fair price. We had a good chat in the Sweet Spot Live on Sunday about the conveyor belt of American talent coming through. We mentioned your Cameron Champs and your Matt Wolf. You didn't mention Sam Burns. He's very disrespectful of us, really. I mean, he's the world number 25. A hugely promising player, teeing up in a low-grade PGA Tour event this week. He'll fully expect to win.
It wasn't disrespect on my part, Steve. It was just sheer ignorance. Apologies if he took it badly.
It was gross disrespect on my part. Okay. And if you're watching, Samuel, I do apologise unreservedly. He made his PGA Tour breakthrough in May. Three-shot victory in the Valspar Championship. Two runner-up finishes since Byron Nelson, WGC FedEx St Jude Invitational. He's played some great golf in the FedEx Cup playoffs. He improved the score each round at East Lake. He's been resting since, and he's playing really close to home this week. He's a Louisiana man. He's finished third in the 2018 Sanderson Farms. I think he'll finish first in this one. We asked for a big hitter who putts well. You don't get much better than Sam Burns.
Righty-ho. Steve goes for Sam Burns as his number one selection. Who's the main danger?
I think it's Cam Davis. Yeah, he used to be called Cameron Davis. He likes to be called Cam Davis now at 33 to 1. We were on Cameron Davis for last year's Sanderson Farms. He was tied for the lead going into the final round. I don't know if you remember that one, but unfortunately for us, he was in a high-pressure two-ball with Sergio Garcia. So, you got Davis, who lacked experience, up against a golfing legend. It was an understandable fade to sixth place. But we know the course sets up well for him. He's since gone on to become a PGA Tour champion. Really impressive winner of the Rocket Mortgage Classic in July. He's played all right since, nothing spectacular. Yeah, Cam Davis is a big fish in a small pond this week. Textbook swing, go in places. I think he's the main threat to Samuel Burns.
Lovely stuff. Four more selections. Away you go.
Kyung Hoon Lee, KH Lee to his friends, 80 to 1, 30-year-old Korean. Like Davis, he got off the mark on the PGA Tour in the summer. Three-shot victory in the Byron Nelson. A little period of adjustment afterwards. He was suddenly thrown into major competition. He struggled for a few weeks, but he's back playing well again. Finished sixth in the 3M Open in July. 12th in the BMW Championship last time out. So, yeah, KH Lee is a serious threat in Mississippi this week. Scott Stallings, 70 to 1. He won this tournament when it was called the True South Classic in 2012. That was at a different Mississippi track. Last year, he showed he's got a handle on the current venue as well. He tied for sixth place last year, despite arriving in poor form. This time, he's fresh from a decent tournament. He was sixth in the Fortinet Championship last time out. Three-time PGA Tour champion. Lives across the border in Tennessee. Good opportunity for Scott Stallings. Then the two at enormous prices. Davis Riley at 250 to 1. He's a Mississippi man. He's gunning for home state glory. He was a college star across the border in Alabama. He's a two-time winner on the Korn Ferry Tour. Very attacking player who will appreciate, you know, this long, soft layout. And he's a good friend of Justin Thomas's, actually. I wonder whether seeing his mate Justin Thomas leading the celebrations. I don't know if you're watching much of the American celebrations on Sunday, but Justin Thomas...
Yeah, I thought Thomas was giving it the big, and given he didn't have a very good week, I thought...
They were like a bunch of kids, weren't they, who'd raided
their dad's drink cabinet and discovered lager and vodka for the first time, weren't they?
Yeah. Well, I wonder when you're a professional athlete like that, when you probably don't touch the stuff for long periods, so you're peaking for performance, when you suddenly probably have like one tin of beer and then they're all over. Yeah, Justin Thomas looked a bit merry on Sunday, and he actually convinced Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka to hug. Did you see that? They hugged, didn't they?
Yeah. Was it a proper full-on hug?
Bryson DeChambeau was well up for the hug.
What about Koepka?
He's a bit more reserved, but yeah, it was a full hug. Yeah, you struggle to argue that wasn't a hug. But Justin Thomas was the ringleader of the celebrations. He won his singles match convincingly. He probably deserved a little bit of fun and games. But I just wonder whether watching those scenes will inspire Davis Riley, because Davis Riley, it wouldn't take the wildest imagination ever to imagine Riley making rapid career progression over the next couple of years and becoming a Ryder Cup contender, and then, you know, maybe one day be playing with Justin Thomas in the Ryder Cup.
Okay. And we got one more, haven't we?
We got one more, another Davis Thompson at 300-1. Another young powerhouse who should be in his element this week. He was born in Alabama, neighboring Alabama. He was a superstar at the University of Georgia. And he's only had a few PGA Tour events, but he's had some spectacular bursts of scoring in them, short bursts of scoring. You know, maybe this, a low-grade event on a course which should suit him, he might be able to string four rounds together. You know, at that price, well worth taking the chance.
There's lots of Davises in your staking, isn't it? We've got Cameron Davis, Davis Riley, Davis Thompson, Davis Love.
Yeah, well, he was a winning Ryder Cup vice captain last week, maybe.
He was, yeah.
Very tenuously. Maybe he's inspiring.
Well, yeah. Yeah, and he's not playing this week. But apart from that, you could easily have tipped him, couldn't you? Good. So out of the big five at the front of the betting, you've tipped Sam Burns. Give us a quick thought on Zalatoris, Im, Garcia and Connors. I suppose the one thing about Garcia is he doesn't actually have his tail between his legs, because he did all right last week, didn't he?
That's true, yeah. I'm not sure what his tail is, but yeah, it's not between his legs. Yeah, he did do all right. Now, he obviously offered to play with Rahm, and they bonded somehow before the event, and it all worked out wonderfully. Yeah, I'm not sure. I think Zalatoris was tempting. You know, I'm a huge Zalatoris fan, but how he didn't place when we were on him in the Fortinet, I'll never know. You know, he missed a lot of putts. Yeah, that putting breakthrough that he made. Remember, we were talking about he spotted.
Didn't he have a broken putter or a little indent in his putter?
Yeah, he had a broken putter face, sorted that out, and then putted well in a couple of events. But last time out, his putting was back to being miserable again. So I don't know. I prefer Sam Burns at the same price.
Okay. I mean, Im will be devastated because he normally likes to play every week. I'm surprised he didn't turn up at the Ryder Cup and see if he could get a game. But he's had to have a holiday, which he won't have enjoyed, will he?
Yeah, I suppose a fresh Sungjae Im is dangerous. Yeah, he's definitely on the dangerous list. I mean, we were on him when he agonisingly finished second a couple of years ago.
And I don't know why we do this, but who is the last one off the list? Because it's just torturing ourselves, aren't we, really?
Yeah. Well, I suppose it's punters that want to back loads of players. There are punters out there that back loads of players. I promise you that. I get emails from people. They send me long lists of like 15 players. So... Mighty Mito Pereira. Hugely.
He's got a chance, yeah.
Bring on him in the Fortinet. He finished third. Yeah, I think a breakthrough victory for Mito Pereira is feasible. And we talk about inspiration. I know these are sort of just icing on the cake things. We talk about your Davis Riley's being inspired by your Justin Thomas's. But Matt Wolf must have been looking at last week's events and thinking, you know, if I can just sort my noggin out, you know, he's had a few noggin problems, then, he's going to be playing Ryder Cups, isn't he? So, yeah, this might be the week he gets back on track.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you very much, Steve. Are you pleased to have normal stroke play golf back? I mean, we all love a Ryder Cup, but it doesn't really excite you from a betting perspective, does it?
No, I remember we had a comment early on in Sweet Spot Live on Sunday, didn't you? The first comment, I think, when it was a person looking forward to the Dunhill Links and the Sanderson Farm.
Yeah, he couldn't wait, could he? Do you feel like that yourself?
I do actually. Yeah, I much prefer this sort of fare to the Ryder Cup. Yeah, you've got to have deep pockets to make money out of 4-7 shots.
You seem fairly chipper, Steve. You've come out the Ryder Cup in good spirits, have you? I think that break from the treadmill of tournament golf might have done you a bit of good there, by the look of it. Did you watch the final episode of Vigil? Because you were desperate to get Sweet Spot Live wrapped up to watch Vigil, weren't you? But you watched it in the end. No spoilers.
Oh, I'm not allowed to say anything.
Of course you aren't. If people are watching this and they haven't watched Vigil yet, they're going to shut up. You have watched it, yeah?
I have watched it.
Okay, and we can text each other afterwards about it.
We'll have a chat next week, then. If you haven't watched it by next week, you've got no excuses.
Well, I won't be here next week, unfortunately, because I'm out and about. So I think probably Young Jack will be back. It'll be Jack and you next week.
I'll talk to him about it, yeah.
Okay, and next week I think we've got the Shriners and I think European Tour heads down to Iberia for 4 weeks, doesn't it? We've got 3 tournaments in Spain and then one in Portugal and then it's off to Dubai. So some nice autumn sunshine for the European Tour players.
Yeah, yeah, we've certainly got the 3 in Spain. I'm not sure whether the Portugal one survived, actually. I think that might have died a death.
It's on the European Tour calendar.
Oh, is it? Oh, they've been humming and
Mora, yeah.
You've been umming and whoring over that one. So I'm glad that one's still there because I like that one. But then obviously we've got Dubai at the end. So we're all looking forward to that.
Absolutely, yeah.
It looks like Yorshaw is looking forward to that. He seems to have sort of shown an interest in European Tour. Good luck to him.
Absolutely. Anything exciting in your life outside of work coming up in the next week?
I don't know. A lot of illness in the camp. Yeah. Do you have people dropping like that? Yeah, There's a lot of vomiting going on, colds going about,
isn't there, as well? We haven't had colds for about a year because obviously with COVID, no one's really sort of engaged enough to spread cold viruses. But I know loads of people have got the common cold. It's back.
Well, a lot of people are saying it's the worst colds ever, aren't they? I was listening on the radio earlier on Radio 5. They're discussing the worst colds in history. So I've just come through one of them. But there's been a lot of vomiting going on in my house at the moment. So everyone's like a domino effect. One gets it, the next one gets it. Yeah, it's not easy modern living, is it?
No, it's not. Have you got petrol in your tank?
Yeah, yeah.
That's not a euphemism. That's actual question.
Got lead in my pencil and I've got...
An unleaded in your tank.
diesel.
Did you queue up?
Yeah. I went just before the crisis hit. I'm really impressed my daughter with these things because I was, when the coronavirus first started up, yeah, there was a lot of people going, oh, this is not really going to amount to much. I said to my daughter just before it all kicked off, I said, this is going to change everything for a long period of time. She's very impressed with my foresight. And then just before this, I got the little sniff of this crisis and I said, I'm just going to go and fill up the car. So it's all about foresight in this game. I need to show a bit more foresight on the golf punting and work out who's going to win golf tournaments before they do. But on general life things, I'm winning at the moment. And I feel bad for you. They put the prices of the petrol up. I mean, that's going to be the next thing.
Supply and demand, isn't it? Yeah.
Is that already happened?
Yeah. Of course it has.
Yeah, ridiculous.
I always wish I had a bit more foresight because if I was good enough to be a tipster, I could call my tipping column Bruce Foresight, couldn't I?
Blimey. I can't believe when you just come up with that. Yeah. I mean, you've quite good on cycling, aren't you?
I'm quite good on things that you can't bet on as well, like you. I'll predict things and I'll be like, if only you could bet on that. And then you can't, but never mind. It's all good.
Yeah, I think we need to get a weekly cycling. Is there enough cycling to get a weekly cycling tipping column? They don't cycle every week, do they?
No, that's not going to happen, unfortunately. I don't think. No, we'll stick with golf. So good luck, Steve, this week. We'll reiterate your tips before we go. Dunhill Links,
Alex Noren, Matty Jordan, Nikolai Hogard, Grant Forrest, and Wacom Lagergren.
And the Sanderson Farms Championship.
Samuel Burns, Cam Davis, Kyung Hun Lee, Scott Stallings, Davis Riley, Davis Thompson.
Beautiful stuff. Steve, you're back with Jack next week. In the meantime, thank you for watching. Don't forget, if you enjoy the show, hit the thumbs up button. Let us know who you fancy this week. If you nail the winner, I'm sure Jack and Steve will give you a shout out next week. As always, do bet responsibly. Back next week for another Sweet Spot.